News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings. Great to have you along. Sunshine right now. We may have a good bit of sunshine today, as it turns out, and a lesser chance of rain. So because of the cloud cover yesterday, the rain in the morning, the clouds all day, 87 our high yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But a muggy 87.
Muggy 87, but 87 nonetheless, and greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
with the more sunshine as the weekend, rolling into the weekend goes along, we'll now exceed the normal high temperature of 91 degrees the next few days. So just get ready. We were talking about this because we both try to get some walking and hiking in during the middle of the day. And if I had my druthers, I wouldn't do it at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But that's the best I can do.
I want to start rucking. I have the backpack. It's my old school backpack, so it's probably 15, 20 years old.
Yeah.
But I've tried just throwing some dumbbells in there.
Ah.
Doesn't work, really. I need to get they have like these rucking plates.
I don't know what rucking is.
It's just walking with a lot of weight on your back. Basically, well, it's like you're in the military.
Or
hunting, right? You got all this stuff, so it just adds a little weight to the walk.
But okay.
That's what I'm trying to get into.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Rucking.
Now, rucking could lead me straight to a coma. I mean, walking in the middle of the day at my age anyway, not that I'm elderly, but, you know, I'm kind of risking a little bit.
Yeah.
So if you were to pile some weights on top of me, I don't think that would be a
good idea.
Advised.
I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't need to buy anything new. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. I'll just piggyback rides, right?
Yeah.
You know, walk a mile, 3 miles with the 5-year-old on my back.
They're, though, very physically abusive from all the stories you've told me.
It'd be like a rucking backpack that punches you in the face.
Yeah, it'd be like taking a monkey along with you that's just scraping at your face and kicking you from what I've seen. But
yeah.
All that to say that be careful out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad we don't have a lot of rain, less accidents maybe on the interstates and such this morning. But that warm weather, it is going to be very, very hot. So whatever you do, just please be careful and go ahead and drink a lot of water.
Terry texting in to the trooper at mile marker 29 and a half of 65 southbound who is changing the tire of the white SUV. Thank you. So,
nice.
Hopefully he's out of there now. Terry sent this about 20 minutes ago, but thanks to the state trooper who stopped to help that stranded motorist with the tire change. That's frightening. Thankfully it hasn't happened to me, but lose a tire or have an issue and you're on the interstate or highway, that's some dangerous times
for
that state trooper. Nothing makes me more mad than seeing a police officer who's pulled someone over or who's trying to help. And people don't get out of that lane that's right next to it. And I see it over and over again. There's not much that's more frustrating than that.
I had a friend killed on the side of the road.
Oh, man.
Had some car trouble on I-65 north of the Dolly Parton Bridge. And got out of his automobile to go back to the trunk area. I don't remember exactly everything that went down with it all. It was 20 years ago, but that was very serious and very sad.
Yeah, and Terry said he's changing the tire on the bridge. So it's 65 southbound on the Dolly Parton Bridge, I would imagine.
Everybody be careful.
Yeah, good stuff there. So it's been every hour, it seems, there's a new addition to the should he or shouldn't he drop out Biden story. And just kind of as an overall, highlights of the things or lowlights for Team Biden that happened yesterday. First off, you had Nancy Pelosi, who hopped on Morning Joe. I don't think the your normal Morning Joes were in. I guess they had backup anchors. I didn't see Scarborough or Minka. But Pelosi, very noncommittal in that. A little later in the day yesterday, probably the most, to this point, most devastating person to come out against Biden's reelection is George Clooney, who is a big player in Democrat politics. And, of course, he appears to be tight friends with former President Barack Obama. And he was a major part of that big Hollywood fundraiser just a few weeks ago where Biden looked lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have Team Biden who were surprised by debate. Were you not watching at the Hollywood performance a few weeks ago? Also, you've had speechwriters for Obama who've stepped out now, Favreau and a couple others, who have also said, yeah, Biden is not fit for another 4 years. How about the hot mic moment? So you had George Stephanopoulos, who interviewed Biden. It was the first big interview after the debate. ABC News Friday night, I think, is when that aired. And Stephanopoulos asked him the questions. That interview really didn't do a lot to allay the fears of some Democrats who don't want him on the ticket anymore. Well, TMZ got Stephanopoulos on a, I guess you can call this a hot mic moment.
Okay.
It's tough to hear what Stephanopoulos says. We'll mention it after, but here's what that sounded like.
Do you think Biden should step down? You talk to him more than anybody else have lately, and you could be honest.
I don't think he can serve four more years. That's what Stephanopoulos said on the TMZ hot mic.
Huh.
Was that intentional? Did he know he was being recorded? I don't know. It looked like he didn't know, but you know how these games are played. Here was Pelosi, kind of snippets from her talk yesterday on Morning Joe.
I want him to do whatever he decides to do. Let's just hold off. Whatever you're thinking, either tell somebody privately, but you don't have to put that out on the table until we see how we go this week.
So it's funny, you know, Biden's come out three or four times and said, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in the race. I'm not leaving the race. And then Pelosi yesterday says, we still have to see. I mean, whatever he decides. He decided. This is like if I got invited to a trip or to go do something and I kind of didn't want the wife to come, or maybe I did, but I say, hey, do you want to come to this event or come to this thing? And she says, yeah. And then I go, well, let's just see. I mean, we'll see if you want to go. And she's like, yeah, I want to go. And I'll say, yeah, but I don't know. We'll just have to kind of see how things shake out and see if you still really want to. Yeah. No, I want to go.
Exactly.
I'm Pelosi in that situation, and my wife is unfortunately Joe Biden in that analysis. But
yeah, how's that relationship going?
It's like Biden said he's doing it.
Yeah,
and you're still noncommittal.
No, you're right. And since Monday things seem to be quelled down. It seemed, and then but the drumbeat goes on. Mm-hmm. We wake up Tuesday morning, and the news basically is. It's all kind of taken care of. Biden's in. People are behind him. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way it's gone from then to now.
And you had the Democrats in the House who caucused Tuesday to talk about all of this. And since then, I believe three more have come out publicly. So you now have nine House Democrats who said Biden needs to go. Mm. Yesterday, for the first time, we heard from Democrat senators who are meeting with Team Biden today. The first was Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, and he talked to CNN Tuesday. So he actually 2 days ago said Biden is not on track. Trump is on track to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House. And then he was asked, should Biden step aside? And Senator Bennett said, we should be having a discussion. This is something for the president to consider. So he didn't publicly say Biden needs to step out, but one senator yesterday did, and that's Vermont Senator Peter Welch, became the first to publicly call on Biden to withdraw. In an op-ed in the Washington Post, we can't unsee what we saw. Age was a big issue going into the debate. It was an opportunity that the White House saw to put that to rest, but coming out of the debate, it intensified it, and that's a real problem.
So, also, was there a congressman out of Maine that made a statement as well? It's just interesting that him being a U.S. senator, of course, that's the bigger deal, right? But that they're geographically way up in almost to the Netherlands to, you know, the rest of the United States, but they feel comfortable enough to come out and say he's got to go.
Yeah.
Almost like they don't feel attached to necessarily to what anybody else is saying or politically what's right or what's wrong. It's kind of like, no, man, he's got to go.
Yeah, and it all depends, I think, on the pressure they're getting from constituents and how tight the races they're in are.
Yep.
Really, I mean, outside of U.S. representatives, the New York State Congress and even the lieutenant governor, they seem to be the state, the blue state pushing most for Biden to get out because they've seen their numbers shift so much in Trump's favor over the last 4 years. I mean, Biden won New York in 2020, I think by 20 points or something like that. And that's now, according to several pollsters, New York is in play for Trump. Manhattan is going more towards Trump.
It's amazing.
And I don't know how much that trial had to do with that or not, but now you have state congressmen, the lieutenant governor of New York, who are saying, no, he needs to go. He's hurting our local races.
Yeah, there. Right. You have relatives who live in
rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah, in kind of the western part of the state, I guess. And as it's been stated about Pennsylvania, it's Philadelphia on one side, Pittsburgh on the other side, and Alabama in between.
Yeah, right.
And you can vouch to that, right? It's pretty rural. It's pretty right thinking. New York State the same way. So you got Long Island and New York City, and then on the far end of the state, you've got Buffalo, but Buffalo's probably more right-leaning than anything. But you've got a good bit of that state that it could be convinced to go the other way.
You have
people who are not necessarily like hardline Democrats. And I think that, like you say, everyone's kind of measuring their words here closely. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago that came out. We've got... some audio from the co-writer of that article.
Okay.
And what's really interesting about this, Dalton, it's got to do with the team and the people around Biden that, unbeknownst to most of us, and it's interesting now they really dig down and find all this out, like, oh, well, thank you, Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now people are willing to talk initially.
I guess that's probably it, too. But really identifying people, who they are, and what their role has been in shielding Biden, and the lengths they've gone to during, not just recently, but his entire presidency, to keep him out of making big decisions, to keep him out of traveling too much, because they don't want to get tuckered out.
Keep him from being asked questions by people he doesn't know what they're going to ask.
So he's going to have a big boy press conference today, you say, and that's the first one since November?
I think November was the last time he had a real presser where he took questions, and I still would say, you know, I'd put real presser in quotes.
Yeah.
Because how is this going to work this afternoon? 4:30 is when he's supposed to talk as they wrap up the NATO summit. We'll see if any big announcements come from that. But you're right, that article is interesting. So many people we've never heard of. We'll get into that when we get back.
Oh, there's a Ukraine Top Gun theme right there. They got the F-16s now.
Yeah. When will that movie come out?
When will that story play out? What's the conclusion of it all? All right, so this is really some shocking news. A story from the Wall Street Journal says senior White House advisors for more than a year easily, they have aggressively stage-managed President Biden's schedule and movements as age has taken its toll on him. We all know now, we know that all clearly, America does, from what happened at the debate. Emily Glazer is co-writer of the article. She talks a little bit about it.
Well, to start, Biden has had fewer news conferences and interviews than any president at this point in their terms, going all the way back to Reagan. He's had fewer small meetings with lawmakers as his term has gone on, according to visitor logs. And ultimately, what we're hearing is that Biden has good days where he's sharp and detail-oriented, and bad days where he's forgetful, he stumbles over his words and struggles to really convey his thoughts. And the issue is that the bad days are more plentiful and far worse. So that's got a large number of lawmakers and major donors very nervous.
Yeah, they're nervous. They're mad. He's got this team around him people he's known a long time that he trusts, and they've dismissed travel suggestions over worries that he didn't have the stamina. There was an idea for him to make weekly cross-country trips in 2022. They said, no, we're not doing that. These people are powerful. I mean, they're calling the shots. Mm-hmm. We've been saying, who's calling the shots here? Well, in some regards, it's this team around him. When the 81-year-old president took to the stage last month's debate, his performance in the 90-minute event stunned members of his party. So even people in his party that are elected officials
blind to it.
So who's the team?
Obviously, Biden has worked in politics for decades, so he's built a really trusted circle around him. That includes Anita Dunn, Steve Ricchetti, Mike Donilon, Annie Tomasini, Anthony Bernal. These are all names of top Biden aides that have really shielded him and stage managed his schedule, his movements, his personal interactions. You know, we're talking about things with U.S. lawmakers, international politicians, and donors, where it can get very scripted, and there are certain accommodations made that we are told are highly unusual for a president. And that's the distinguishing factor here. It's not just that Biden is older. It's also his forgetfulness, confusion around what might be going on, and that this is happening sometimes, not all the time, but it's happening more frequently, and people are nervous.
She mentioned donors there, right? And I remember Hollywood Now Clooney has said
Clooney stepping
you're,
out.
You're out. But they made that all those big donations inside the last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a number of these deep-pocketed donors, they're really, really frustrated at mogul Jeffrey Katzenberg. He's co-chair of the Biden campaign. What he's done, he's a Disney guy, right?
I'm not sure.
I think he's a Disney executive. Anyway, he's been very aggressive in almost, I mean, they've got a lot of money, so the money's there, but someone's got to make the sales pitch. He's the guy making the sales pitch, saying, I've been around him. He's doing good. He's sharp. And he's kind of shaking people down to give the money to Biden.
Yeah, he's either just being thrown under the bus by these other big donors, or he was lying to their faces this whole time.
That's exactly right. So here's what she's got to say about him.
But look, a number of large donors are also really angry with Jeffrey Katzenberg. He's the longtime Hollywood mogul turned entrepreneur who's co-chair of Biden's campaign. And he has told people that Biden is sharp and in command, and a number of donors feel that they've been lied to or misled. As recently as 6 weeks ago, we reported that one entertainment executive had lunch with Katzenberg, and he asked Katzenberg point blank whether Biden was too incapacitated to win the election. Katzenberg responded, absolutely not, that he sees him, he talks to him all the time, he's solid, the mental acuity is there. Now, look, people felt very differently after the debate the other week, and the questions are just coming in hot and heavy, and it's not just like one night or one event where people saw Biden and he may have not, you know, performed his best. You know, it was on the public stage for everybody to see.
Yeah, everybody sees it. So if you were somebody who was a donor, I mean, you got egg on your face. You feel you're embarrassed. You feel like you've been flim-flammed. But before that,
they've not been paying attention, though. That's the whole thing. I know they're throwing people under the bus now.
Here you got Katzenberg, though. He's giving you information like he's an insider. Like, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, man, he's sharp. And you feel like now you've got information other people don't have. That's mm-hmm. number one. Number two, your pockets are now empty because Katzenberg did that as well. And so now you're sitting here saying, what in the world was that performance? I think people have been swayed by people in power, Katzenberg, and then those protectors of Biden. They're passing out information like, oh, man, you let everybody know. You know, you're in the know.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah.
And then you make these donations, and then what happened at the I think that's why Clooney's so angry. I mean, yeah. Clooney got flim-flammed. You're saying, why didn't they know? Well,
yeah. Well, Clooney didn't say anything after the disaster at that campaign event that he hosted.
Yeah,
he waited until after the debate.
Right,
and I think most people are probably right that he had to probably get the go-ahead from his good buddy Obama to go ahead and send that out there. I doubt he would have done that without Obama saying, "Yeah, go ahead and send it."
And we talked about that relationship, which was political in nature more than anything. Obama and Biden, it's not like, you know, they're
not besties.
No. Yeah. And Michelle Obama's made that known, too, with
very
the
clear
Biden family.
Yeah. Well, and Dan Yankee says the Obama third term. And I thought that for a long time, and maybe it's still the case, and I know they have a lot of the same priorities, but it sounds, with all this reporting coming out, like Biden kept a real team of loyalists closest to him.
Right.
That maybe weren't as Obama linked, but you still have plenty from the Obama team. You've got Jake Sullivan and some others who are holding some really heavy roles, but it sounds like he kept some people really tied to him who would take care of him.
He was in Washington for 30 years before Obama ever showed up. Think about that.
Yeah.
It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, 8:30. And we'll be back after the news.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap here in just a minute. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew, they do great work, and they've been doing that for over 16 years here on the Gulf Coast, making junk disappear.
See all those great reviews they get?
Every time
they hit the street, then you get more great reviews. I mean, that says everything you need to know.
Yeah, on Google. If you just Google 1-800-GOT-JUNK-MOBILE, you'll see the reviews right there to the right side of the screen. 283, all of them five-star Google reviews. And this one from Patty just a couple weeks ago said the two young men went above and beyond moving the items from several sites on the property. They worked hard and were very respectful. They have earned our company's repeat business. And so many of those reviews sound that same note that Patty did. They're respectful. They work hard. They're just great at what they do. And if you've got some junk that's been piling up for days or months or years, have them come out and take care of it for you. Whether it's at your business or your home, have them make that junk disappear. They'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day. Plus, free on-site estimates with all-inclusive pricing. No hidden fees, no surprise charges after everything's all said and done. Set that appointment up today. The phone number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can set the appointment up online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
You want to know what's going on around here? You got to read Lanyap. That's just the bottom line, because it's breaking news every day. We use it as a resource here, Rob Holbert. We appreciate it a lot, man. Thanks for always being there and never sleeping through the day and making sure if there's breaking news, you've got it in Lanyap online.
You there, Rob?
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys find it useful.
It's, oh, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there. Guys are working hard all the time, putting stuff up. You know, we're averaging about 50 stories a week online. So there's that's the news and sports.
Yep,
so there's a lot of stuff there.
We love it.
Yeah, and a lot of good sports stuff this week. I saw you put Tommy Hicks and Randy Kennedy to some good work as we head towards football and all these summer sports, of course, as well.
Yep.
Let's talk about the sport of the Mobile City Council. And while they've kind of gone back and forth about whether to subpoena or not subpoena city employees, and then an accidental subpoena goes out to former Chief Prine. He talks with the special counsel anyway. And then they decide, well, we don't need to subpoena these city employees. They'll come and do it voluntarily. But one of those, Gulf Coast Tech Center Commander Kevin Levy, I guess he interviewed with the special counsel Bill Athanas for, he says, 5 hours. But the special counsel wanted more documents, more information, more talk time with him. And now his attorney, Chris Callahan, kind of pushing back on that.
Yeah, so that it's probably going to force their hand a little bit if they don't come in and do it voluntarily. So yeah, it's you know, I think to me they ought to just talk to him as much as he needs to be talked to. You know, I don't know what issues there are. I'm not privy to that. None of us are. But you know, I think that they need to get to the bottom of it, and that's the only way to do it. And transparency is the best thing at this point.
It is, and I'm not sure how the Zogby Act, if it plays into this. I mean, the Gulf Coast Tech Center, does that make Levy a city employee? I'm not sure how all that works, because a big part of the mayor's conversation with the city council was, well, if you subpoena some of these city employees, that kind of goes against the Zogby Act. So I guess we'll see how this plays out. It was a 45-day window for this investigation to be done with, and I think we're probably coming to the end of that very soon.
Yeah, it's getting close on that, and I think that, you know, hopefully they'll just get these things done, and there won't be a big bunch of fighting about, you know, documents and things like that. I hopefully that will get done, and we can get a report back and see what happened.
Right.
Breaking story you've got this morning in Lanyap. It's got to do with the Airport Authority and their purchase of nearly 300 acres of land that was formerly with the Housing Authority, and I think it's on either side of Michigan Avenue. The Boykin Tower is on one side. They're both on the south side of, I'm sorry, the north side of the interstate, but you have the Boykin Tower on one side of Michigan Avenue, and then the R.V. Taylor, I believe, on the other side. So anyway, the delay was getting people
moved out.
Yeah, moved out and housed and everything like that. What are the plans for that? For those acres,
You know, I don't know exactly what the plans are. I know the airport has been that land has been something that everybody has talked about going to the airport for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a surprise at all. And I think that's you know, if you've been through there, I actually drive through there quite a bit, and so it is kind of a ghost town. You know, I've been driving through there lately, wondering when it's going to happen, and so it has happened. You know, what they're going to do with it, I'm sure, is just expansion of airport, you know, facilities and things they need over there. But that's been the plan.
Yes.
So it's just coming to fruition at this point.
Yeah, and I know it's been the plan, and I've been aware of it for some time as well. The one thing that I'm trying to figure out is it's...
With the interstate cut in between.
Yeah, the interstate's right in between the part where the Mobile International Airport is now, whether the, and that property to the north side of it, it's totally separated by the interstate, so it's not like you could make your way from one part to the other unless more construction's going to be happening. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, and I think they're putting out 3 new contracts for bid for the airport next month, so maybe we'll get some more information there too, and it'll come out in Lanyap, I'm sure. Just like this story that you guys have been following closely, Rob, Auburn and their association with Matrix LLC, which of course was a major newsmaker a few years ago, and Alabama Power involved in this as well. Kind of lay this story out for us.
Well, it's basically the story of the Alabama Power Foundation, which people maybe aren't really aware of that, but Alabama Power has a charitable foundation that they hand out millions of dollars across the state every year, usually somewhere in the range of $15 to $20 million a year, and they donate to all these little things you see, you know, ballparks or small, you know, charities, and they get $1,000 here, $5,000 there, but they also give away large sums of money to some bigger players across the state. And one of the biggest one is Auburn. They give Auburn a tremendous amount of money. Over the last 10 years, they've given Auburn $15 million out of about $110 million that they put out. So it's a large chunk, and it's gone to form this thing called the McCrary Institute, which is for cybersecurity, which is a cybersecurity institute, a think tank, basically. It doesn't teach anybody. It's just about, we're thinking about the grid all the time. And, you know, really up until now, it hasn't really done very much. They're trying to do a little bit more, I think, but, you know, there's really not a lot of production. What it has done is hired a lot of former Alabama Power employees and employees of Matrix. So there's a lot of money there. Plus, it has given Matrix and another group called the Hawthorne Group, that is very close with Alabama Power. They've given them contracts worth more than $1 million a year. So you look at that. The story is about that, but it's also about just how this foundation.
Hang on, Rob.
Coal ash when. I think the vast majority of the citizens of the community, yes.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, you dropped that for just a second there, but you're tying all this to Alabama Power and the coal ash problem they've got up the river?
We lose you?
Yeah, no, you're back.
I'm back?
Yes.
You're back, yeah, so...
Anyway, I think what I was saying is just that I think when people think about what makes Alabama Power... powerful in the state politically, one of the big things is this foundation and the money they give away. Just in 2022, for example, they doled out more than $800,000 to organizations in Mobile County alone.
Wow.
You know, some of those are Chamber of Commerce. Some of those are groups that spoke in favor of Alabama Power burying coal ash. It's not just political donations. It's this other kind of donating. You know, in particular with Auburn just will not. They won't say what the money goes for. They've hidden a lot of this. They tried to deny public records. They've done all sorts of things that are just, you know, I'm asking questions like, well, what are you doing with this money? And they don't want to tell you. So it's kind of this deal where they transfer foundation money to another foundation. And somehow it ends up getting back to these groups that they have relationships with or to people that used to work with them.
Yeah, it seems shady. Yeah, on its face, you guys are investigating and, you know, picking up more stones. And I guess those of us who are out here shelling hundreds of dollars out for power bills during the summer, it doesn't make you feel good to know that they're spending, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars with these different donations and then getting hired on at these places. Very, I don't know, it's all these different, whether it's a state-run organization, like we've seen with Aldot and some of their advertising money, or some of these utilities. It seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think I am, but Lagniappe seems to be the one of the few, if only, that are doggedly kind of following these trails and saying, hey, what are you doing with all this money?
Well, I think it's important to look at it, and, you know, the Alabama Power says that this money does not come from rate money, that it was donated by investors, that stakeholders in the company donated hundreds of millions of dollars to give away. That's what they say. There's nobody really who can check that except for the Public Service Commission. I don't know. It just seems it's an awful lot of money to be just giving away. And, you know, when your power bills are that high, you kind of wonder what's the purpose of it? What is the power company supposed to be there to be Santa Claus for everybody? Is it supposed to be there to have its own news organization? Is it supposed to be there to advertise all over the place? Is that what it's about? I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me for a monopoly to advertise or to or to give a bunch of money away to everybody. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
But yeah, they do it.
Maybe it makes sense to them.
We've got one of the more compelling races about to happen in the fall here. Well, you know, you got the presidential race on top, but Caroline Dobson versus Shamari Figures. This is fascinating in so many ways. The personalities, the political charm of one, and the kind of political newness, but still there's something about Dobson that seems to be rooted in real life. So I know they met with some movers and shakers downtown the other night, and Lagniappe was there.
Yeah, we had a reporter there. They were meeting at Coastal 150. They went down to one of the local breweries and had kind of a relaxed evening where everybody was sitting around and talking. And they were both there. We asked them some questions. We asked them about coal ash, for one, but a number of different things. They had some interesting takes on it, mostly just talking about what their race is like and what's going on with it right now. But, you know, Brady Petrie went down there, and he got a good story on it. Definitely one worth checking out.
Yeah, and Dobson, who, of course, notoriously went after Dick Brubaker during that primary runoff, she's kind of been less aggressive towards her Democrat opponent, Shamari Figures, but we're starting to see more of that here these last couple weeks. She's been talking more about how he's lived in D.C. for so long.
Yep.
And then also with the Biden performance at the debate, she said, hey, why didn't Figures speaking up? So that's going to, I think, end up being a really close race. We saw that with some of the numbers, the turnout during the initial primary. That'll be fascinating, and of course
you got national money involved in it too, because it's such a big race nationally.
So that'll be interesting to see. I know Lagniappe will be covering it all the way through. Great stuff in this week's issue, including the Clotilda controversy regarding the Wall Street Journal, and you got commentary from our own Ben
definitely
Rains.
A big one there.
So I encourage people to check that out, plus all the great sports news this week. Rob, how can folks find the print issue on stands, and better yet, how can they sign up to get Lagniappe online?
Well, you can find us in all the purple boxes around our community, but also you can go online at lagniappemobile.com. Sign up for Lagniappe Daily. We're doing stories all the time, every day, so you're missing out if you're just reading the paper. And you can it's a dollar to start with and just $6.50 a month after that. So give it a try.
And the Nappies issue, that should be coming out soon, huh?
Nappies issue hits next week, folks. So
wow.
It's time. It's coming. The winners will be announced next Wednesday.
Fantastic. Thanks, Rob. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
You got it.
Rob Hobert, Lagniappe, lagniappemobile.com. Coming back.
I think he's trying to break a story in Turnerville from the phone reception we have here.
Yeah.
He's working on a story in Turnerville.
That must be what it is.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure. Coming back, we have a ton of texts we haven't gotten to yet. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump on. Plus, if we can, we'll get into this new proposed legislation banning members of Congress from trading stocks. More on that coming up on Mobile Mornings.
Interesting stuff. It's 8:49, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. It is 8:54 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. And now, your chance to win.
Yeah. A couple more pairs of tickets to give away this week, and we'll give one pair away right now to see the Keep the Party Going tribute to Jimmy Buffett featuring the Coral Reefer Band. A lot of artists will be up there on the stage, including Mobile's own Will Kimbrough. This show, Thursday, August 1st at the Wharf Amphitheater. Tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com as low as $33.50. This is the Keep the Party Going tribute to Jimmy Buffett. And now caller number 5 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 5, you win the pair of tickets. And you'll be at the Wharf August 1st to see this great tribute concert to our own Jimmy Buffett.
So a lot of people have used that same number, 251-343-0106, to reach out to us on the text line.
That's right, and we've been talking about a number of things this morning. Nick said, as far as the state testing scores and how reading has been a little better, math has hit the skids.
Oh, it's abysmal.
For third and fourth graders. Nick says the fourth graders with the lowest scores were the ones most likely affected by their first 2 years of school, halted by COVID shutdowns.
Yep.
We're going to feel that reverberate for years to come.
I agree.
Gardner, in that same theme, says, on these student proficiency tests, how do the numbers compare to pre-COVID? COVID years had the worst proficiencies ever, so an increase against the COVID year is not very impressive. Now, I don't think they were doing these tests pre-COVID, these specific ones that they're looking at now. But Gardner goes on, the Biden administration's using comparisons versus COVID years to make them look good. Yeah, especially when he talks about jobs. You know? He said, I would be suspicious of anybody that's making comparison against the COVID years to show improvement. Squirrel Verine says, take a survey to see if people who work in the heat still do hot outdoor activities in their off time. Like if you work in attics all week or you go into the Blue Angel show this weekend, you go out snapper fishing. Maybe we'll put that up on the website.
That's a fair question.
We were talking about dogs earlier and AI trying to make it so you can hear what they have to say. This texter said, I bet tax money pays for the dog bark study. Can I just say we are going to the dogs? Leo.
I didn't have to break down what Scout was thinking. The dog that I had that passed away, not little Charlie, but Scout was before him. He had such a level of devotion to me that he didn't have to say anything.
You were simpatico. Like your brain waves are on the same.
Some dogs just happen to adore you, and he did.
Dogs don't really bluff, do they?
No.
They're pretty straightforward with their emotions.
Yeah, his was ridiculous high level of love.
My worry would be if AI gets dogs where you can start understanding what they're saying, what if they're just the meanest, you know, calling you fat and slow, you know. Everybody's slow to these dogs.
You might be a little slower getting to getting him food in the bowl.
Leo, we were talking about the Ukraine F-16s that the U.S. is backfilling for these other countries. Leo says, giving jets to Ukraine is a really bad idea. Our founding fathers warned us of involvement in foreign country wars. I'm afraid the deep state wants the U.S. going hot with Russia before Trump can be elected. Thank a Democrat for getting us here.
A lot of Republicans back to...
There's
you know,
a lot.
Signed off for Ukraine, too.
Yeah. I was thinking about this yesterday a lot, too much probably. And if this did pop off, really popped off, mm-hmm. and you had Poland striking Russia or vice versa or whatever, you know, NATO gets involved. Is that when China jumps and they say, all right, we're going Taiwan right now? North Korea, all right, we're going South Korea right now. Like, you're in the world war at that point.
Yeah.
Where are we putting U.S. troops if that's the case? I feel like we would have more of a focus on the Pacific and China, and hope that Europe can hold their own against Russia.
I think you're right. And what does the timing, what does November mean to all of this? How does November affect the timeline of any of these possible movements with the election on the way?
I didn't even mention the Middle East, Iran, right. Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Things are ready to pop off. Hope not, though.
8:59, Dan and Dalton back with you in the morning.